from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of a Monday where we talk showdown, all things not Pittsburgh related. So we are going to – Ron likes that one. So, Joe, I'm going to begin with you. The other night at the Riverhounds game, there was a costly turnover in stoppage time. What did you make of the play, and why did it have to happen that way, and what was a 2-2 draw?
Now Bob's going to make a mockery of the show.
No, I'm just kidding.
A segment that he's been doing for years.
Right.
Bob, we just had Charlie Batch walk over to us, and he – said he wouldn't come on the air because of you. I'm wondering what's happening between you two.
I have no idea what that means. Nothing.
I'm only kidding.
All right, so here we go.
Paul is reading his phone.
Some of these
and
things.
Is very disengaged.
Yes.
Charlie Batch did not say anything bad about Bob. He loves Bob.
He loves Bob.
All right.
We were actually talking about golf, actually.
Okay, good. We'll get into that later. But first, I'm going to begin with this, Joe and Paul. We'll start with who in year number two will make the biggest jump for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Will it be Keanu Benton? Will it be Joey Porter Jr.? Will it be Broderick Jones? Or will it be Nick Herbig?
Stop right
there. You can put
Bob.
Corey Trice in this if you want, but
I'm
I don't know if I...
I'm not putting him anywhere right now. Keanu Benton is a star waiting to happen. That dude is a freak. He showed it last year. He showed it in brief intervals so far this year. I think he is all pro potential. Paul?
I would say I'm going to go with Keanu Benton. I mean, we've heard a lot about him. We've heard him showing up, you know, at camp. So he feels like he's going to be a guy that's going to make plays. I think he's going to have an opportunity to do some things. I'm not quite sold on Broderick Jones yet, especially based on what we saw.
Wait, did I say Benton?
Yes.
Okay. I thought, judging by Paul's answer, that maybe I said the wrong name.
No, you said I did. You asked me my opinion.
Yeah, well, Bob did technically.
Okay.
All right. So we have two Keanu Bentons. All right.
Yes.
Let me ask you this then. Nick Herbig has shown every time he's on the field something good happens, and I know he's behind guys like Highsmith and Watt. But how do you get him on the field more?
Trade Alex Highsmith in the Ayuk deal, and thank you for asking, Bob.
Okay. I mean, if that doesn't happen, my thing is, if it doesn't happen, how do you do it? Because you'd have to reduce some of the snaps for either of those other guys. It is a long season, and they do take snaps off here and there.
Give 5 of T.J. Watt's snaps and 5 of Alex Highsmith's snaps that you normally would give them. Give them to Herbig. That way you give them a little bit of rest so that in weeks 15, 16, 17, they're still a little bit more fresh.
Yeah, I think this takes care of itself, Bob, honestly. I mean, if T.J. Watt and Highsmith both have an injury-free year, I'd be shocked, first of all. Highsmith is already battling something. It's just it's a long season. It's a brutal position to stay healthy at, I think, sometimes. And he's going to get plenty of reps.
All right, Paul, I want to ask you this one. For the last 3 years, the Steelers offensively have been 21st in scoring, 26th and 27th. This is all under Matt Canada. What percentage would you put in first year with Arthur Smith as the play caller? Seeing what you know so far and what you may expect from this team, where do you think they'll fall in terms of points scored? Well, give me a percentage.
Percentage, or do you mean like
you mean like top 10?
Yeah, where will they end up as an offense?
I'm going to say they will end up in the 13 to 15 range, somewhere like close to the middle.
Well, 24 points a game will get you in the top 10. I don't think they're going to get there. I agree with Paul. I think they'll be at about 22. And I'm definitely willing to entertain the thought that the wheels absolutely come off on this thing. And it's worse than the Matt Canada situation. It's worse. I'm at least willing to entertain that. I mean, this whole thing could fall apart this year, Bob. That's kind of the vibe I got the other night. I'm a little bit, since I'm removed from it now by a day or two, I don't necessarily have the thought as strong as I did. But is this the year that the wheels just come off the Tomlin regime? It's possible.
Let's talk about
Russell Wilson better be good.
Yeah, let's talk about the red zone. They have not really had a lot of success in the red zone. Part of the reason why they ended up 21, 26, and 27 in terms of ranking for scoring. Of the people on this roster right now, who will have the most red zone touchdowns?
I think they're getting Pickens more, making it a point to get him more involved in the red zone. There's just no reason not to throw the ball up to him in the red zone.
I think it's going to be red zone touchdowns is going to be Najee Harris. Running and receiving.
All right.
I think they'll get him the ball, yes.
Now I want to give you a hockey question. Here's a hockey question, and it's not really one that I don't think deserves a whole lot of debate, but Sidney Crosby still has not decided what to do with a contract. Now, he has a year left, but this is that they've been talking and talking, and normally I think everyone said, oh, it's birthday, 87, 87, 87. He'll get his $8.7 million, and that'll be the number, and he'll sign it for 3 or 4 years. If there is a reason why it's being delayed, Paul, what do you think it is?
I think that Sidney Crosby is seriously contemplating what's next. Does he want to sign a four-year deal? He'll hear knowing that for probably 4 years he's going to play on a bad team. Does he want to think about maybe ring chasing, so to speak, even though he has rings? Does he want to play 2 years maybe and be done? I think he's probably really, really thinking long and hard about his future.
It's a delay according to who, Bob? The people who think
if you look at previous times he signed, it's been well in advance of this. And it just so happens that he is on a team now, which is the oldest team in hockey. He's part of that, but he still has a lot of game to offer a team. I'm just asking, based on history, he signed these things earlier. Why now is it taking a little longer? And again, this may be much ado about nothing. I acknowledge that. But I'm just asking why. If there is a delay, and if it hasn't happened, what do you think that delay would be for?
I don't think there's a delay, but thank you for asking.
Okay.
I think he's going to sign this deal during
camp.
Well,
I think there is a delay from this standpoint. We have, I think, Cal Dubas, or is it Cal Dubas? No, I'm sorry. We have people reporting that, according to sources, the Penguins have basically told Sidney Crosby they can't make any other move until they get him settled. So that is a delay because that's a problem. I mean,
well, what other moves are they trying to make at this point?
Signing other free agents or whatever, making a trade even for someone. They need to know what their you know most important player in contract is before they can figure out what they're going to do around it.
I think the premise to Bob's question is entirely misguided.
Okay.
What's that?
How?
Sorry. I'm kidding, half kidding, but I honestly don't think there's a delay here. I think he's going to sign a new deal in training camp.
I do too, but I think there is some concern about where this is all headed here, and I think that could be part of it. There could be conversations going on about that.
You're allowed to have that concern, Bob, but I don't share it.
All right. from what you know, and I don't know that there's much more a roster shuffling that can go on with this team, and you probably haven't looked at this long enough, but I have, and some of the teams in the Eastern Conference look really good and improved. Where will the Penguins be? Will it be a playoff year, yes or no, or will it be a third year of no playoffs?
I think they're going to be a playoff team, and I'm not buying this notion that because this guy's collecting second and third round picks that they're in the state of a major rebuild. They're trying to win, and they're trying to win right now, and I actually think they have a better roster than people want to give them credit for. I'm not going to give them the compliment or the low pressure description of low expectations. I'm not going to relieve them of that. They should absolutely be a playoff team based on what they're paying guys and based on pedigree. I think a lot of NHL teams would like to have a top line of Sidney Crosby, Brian Rust, Drew O'Connor. I think Rickard Rakell can go back and have a good year. I like Michael Bunning. They've collected veteran role players. They've got about eight of them. They should be able to cobble together a bottom six. And then you have Erik Karlsson, who just won the Norris Trophy 2 years ago. Letang, who can still play. Pettersson, who's a good player. And you better have your goalie play up to his pedigree. I'm not going to unburden them by saying, oh, who expects anything from the poor little Penguins these days? I do. Based on their star power, based on their pedigree, and based on their salaries, they better make the playoffs.
All right, now, Paul, you want to respond to that?
If they don't make the playoffs, then there absolutely needs to be some real serious soul-searching about changes that need to be made. That being said, they're not going to make the playoffs, so we should just start the process right now. Their goaltending is still not good enough, and I don't care what anybody says. Their goaltending is still not good enough, and, you know, that's a huge part of the game. Their stars are good, but guess what? They're all a year older now. And all of these veteran guys that you keep telling me that they've deposited around the stars, they're all basically five guys named Mo. In other words, I don't even think that they've gotten any better than they were. I think they're probably a little bit worse. I think Cal Dubas, and I don't want to necessarily let him completely off the hook, but I do agree the fact that there are certain things that probably are standing in the way from him just taking the nuke to the whole thing, blowing it up, and starting over.
Hey, so you're not of the belief that Anthony Beauvillier or Emil Bemström or Cody Glass will make a difference? Because
I think Anthony Beauvillier could be a good player for them.
Yeah, I do too. I've always liked his game, but, again, it depends on the fit that they have.
I'm still trying to get over Sully's season-ending news conference. This is a guy who walked in here all those years ago and put the stars in their place and was, a drill sergeant. And now, after this season, instead of saying we missed the playoffs again, this is unacceptable, it starts with me, this is never going to happen again, we failed, I failed, we got this from Sully. And I quote, this, by the way, for a team that quit around the Gensel trade. I've said on a couple of occasions we're proud of the group for their performance down the stretch. There were a lot of excuses out there to go in a different direction, and they chose not to. I think that speaks volumes for the character of the people in the room, the professionalism of the group. I couldn't be more proud of the effort and the investment. What are we giving the Penguins participation medals now, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, that was a disturbing thought, only because, you could say that, but the expectations coming into the season were the same as they've been, and that is not only to get to the playoffs, but to last longer in the playoffs. I mean, their budget is tied to all of this.
And by the way, this GM gave the goalie $27 million, right? Mm-hmm. He gave Karlsson, in the future at least, they still owe him, what, 40? He threw $27 million at Ryan Graves. So win is what I would say, because that's what you're trying to do. I'm not giving him the excuse of he's trying to rebuild either. He's trying to win now, and he's thrown a ton of money at trying to win now, so they better win.
On the topic of defensemen, since you brought them both up, Erik Karlsson, Ryan Graves, those are the two guys he brought in. Both did not have good seasons by the standards that they have shown before. So which one of these two will have better second years with the Penguins?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. I'll go with Erik Karlsson. I mean, I think he's got too much pedigree. I think he's got too much, star power, whatever you want to say, for him to not at least bounce back somewhat and be better than he was last year, especially on the power play. So I'll say Karlsson.
I mean, it better be Carlson. Graves was a disaster. And, of course, you know, it feels like the Penguin media just wants to give Dubas a pass on everything. Like, does anybody mention that he threw $28 million at Ryan Graves? Does that matter to anybody and how bad he was? Who advised him on that pickup? However, I also can't believe that Graves is as bad as he showed. I just can't believe that. A guy who was plus a million in his years in Colorado and New Jersey. He can't be that bad. Find a role for him to play. And then Carlson, man, was that a disaster, especially the power play. I think he's probably overrated as a power play guy. Again, it comes to me, coaching comes in to a lot of this. Find a way to accentuate Erik Karlsson. That's your job, not mine. The
All right.
guy won the Norris Trophy. He's incredibly talented. Find a way to make it work, Sully and David Quinn.
One final Penguin-related question. Tristan Jarry, yes or no, will be the goaltender at the start of the season and at the end of the season?
I mean, if he starts the season, I'll say yes, he'll be there at the end because they won't be able to trade him because nobody's going to want him. So, yes, and yes. Unfortunately, yes.
Listen, don't mistake my saying that Tristan Jarry needs to play up to his pedigree for the money that they're paying him, as I think he will. But we've seen he's made two All-Star teams. The Penguins obviously believe in him big time. They threw $27 million at him. We've seen him play really well. So I think he's capable of it, Bob. And I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes that Tristan Jarry will have a good year.
All right. If he does, then Bloomquist and others are never going to get a chance up here.
If he has a good year, then I guess they have a shot to make the playoffs. But I can't see that. I just can't. I'm sorry.
I mean, why don't we ever talk about the money that this guy threw around, Bob? All I ever hear about Kyle Dubas is poor, handcuffed Kyle Dubas. He came in to an unwinnable situation, and now look at the big rebuild he's launched with a bunch of third-round picks. Kyle Dubas came here to win now. He was given tens of millions of dollars to throw at people. He threw it at him last offseason, and he's still living with that, and they better perform. That's what I would say. The Guentzel deal was the one concession to the future. Having said that, they brought in a guy who is exactly what they needed in bunting. Look what the power play did before bunting and after bunting.
Yes, bunting is a different kind of player.
Bunting was bad.
Bunting is bad in baseball,
but bunting
is good in hockey.
No, for Schulte maybe.
Yeah. Luckily, the Penguins' bunting is better than the Pirates' bunting.
All right, one final question. This is a Pirate question, Joe, so I'm not going to step on your topics because I know you have them coming up, but this will segue into the break, which will lead to your Pirate discussion. But this is a global question. After 5 years of this regime, where they are, what do you think most likely will happen in the offseason? Blow up, start over with different people in those positions, stay the course?
Well, I saw Bob Smyzik weighed in on this, and he said he's convinced, basically, that Bob Nutting will get rid of Derek Shelton. I'm not. I don't know how many years Derek Shelton has left on his deal because the Pirates actually had the nerve to keep that a secret. I don't know how many other coaches, managers, contracts in all of sports are a secret right now. I think it's outrageous that we don't know, that the fans don't know, how long the, you know, essentially the head coach of the team is signed for. But that's beside the point. I think he keeps everything in place myself. I disagree with Smyzik. I think that Shelton's back, and then I think Charrington's back, Bob. I mean, Paul. I think both.
I think that they're not going to fire one without the other. So I think if Bob Nutting is going to keep Charrington in place, he's not going to fire Derek Shelton either. I just can't see.
All right, what
separating? I can't see him separating it like that. I just can't.
So what would be the message going into year six then?
Here's the thing. If this goes as it stands, okay, they're going to do Bob what, and I keep trying to tell people this. They're going to do what they often do, which is, okay, we're going to make you fire a few of your coaches. We're going to make you make a few of your man, you know, your hitting instructors at the minors. We're going to make you clean a few of those guys out, make them the sacrificial lamb. But the next step is you're done.
The message, Bob, is that they want next year to be 2013. So let's not forget, after 11-12, which were Clint Hurdle's first two seasons, he was a bust. They were a bust. They had collapsed both years with historic losing streaks, and they were on the hot seat, or at least people like me and you were saying they should be on the hot seat. I'm talking Hurdle and Huntington, and they gave him one more chance. So I think that would be the message, is you guys get one more chance to make this into 2013 next year.
Does that chance include an expanded budget?
It better, but it probably won't, not by much.
Well, it depends on what expanded means.
In other words, spend more in the offseason where you have so many questions offensively.
Well, I mean, I think, again, you got to remember they're going to be shaving $14 million off essentially by getting rid of Rowdy and Chapman. They're probably not going to be back. So that's $14 million right there, so they could actually subtract that, and then so I don't know how much
they got to get to $100 million.
They do have to get to $100 million, but my point is, what are they, about 81 right now or something like
they're that? Second lowest,
something like that, whatever it is. So, you know, and my thing is, even if you just doubled that money, you committed to we're going to pay $14 million more than we're doing this year. I mean, you kind of essentially would have $30 million to play with, you know, in many ways.
Well, Bob, I thank you for that. Your questions were insightful, poignant, well-intentioned, riveting, controversial, well thought out, and perfectly delivered.
And no overlap.
And they didn't overlap. You're absolutely right. That was a good showdown, Paul. Would you agree?
Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You gave me no warning. We're all of a sudden back, and then Paul appears magically.
Bob was singing. That's why. We had to get Bob singing in. That was more important.
Listen to this, gentlemen. Headline today in The Athletic. Hits like a sledgehammer when you read it from 8 hours ago. Ken Rosenthal, Stephen J. Nesbitt, we know him, and Zach Mizell. Rosenthal is the headliner there. No offense to Stephen, who's a wonderful writer, and I don't know Zach. Here's the headline. Why the Pirates face an added temptation to shut down Paul Skenes. Okay? Here's how the story begins. With playoff odds below 1%, the Pittsburgh Pirates easily could justify shutting down their electrifying ace, Paul Skenes. They talk about innings limits, how he's getting close there. But they also say this, and I quote, the Pirates could also operate with a compelling ulterior motive the possible prevention of Skeens finishing first or second in National League Rookie of the Year voting, an outcome that would deprive him of gaining a full year of service time and keep him in Pittsburgh for at least one additional season. So there's a lot of tentacles to this story, but the bottom line is, if Paul Skeens doesn't finish first or second in National League Rookie of the Year voting, the Pirates will get him for an extra year. They'll get him for an extra year. And we know the odds of them paying him what he's going to command would be very low. So, Bob, I'll start with you here. And to be fair, the Pirates have given no indication that they're going to do this. Meaning shut him down or minimize him to the extent where it would make it harder and harder to finish first or second in National League Rookie of the Year. But, Bob, the way I see this, you have to consider this. If the trade you're making is we shut down or limit Skeens and we get back an entire year of service, my God, you have to consider that, yes?
Sure, they do, but then you have to consider the message it sends to Paul Skeens, especially if he believes he can still pitch now and wants to pitch now. And you're doing it for that reason, it'll become abundantly clear that that's your motivation, and that would be a really damaging thing moving forward with any sort of relationship you want to have beyond that one extra year.
Paul?
Well, at this point, unless they shut him down right now, I think he's going to finish in the top two in Rookie of the Year.
That's a great question, but there's also great candidates. You got
there are.
Jackson Merrill.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him.
Right.
He's probably going to win it.
Right.
Churio is pretty good, too, with
Milwaukee.
I was
just going to say, Churio from Milwaukee's on fire. Tyler Fitzgerald from the Giants, on pace for 20 homers and 20 steals. And then Imanaga will have more volume. He's got a 3.11 ERA for the Cubs. So, Paul, I agree with you. He still might very well do it, but if you shut him down for September, that would severely crimp his chances.
That would hurt, you know what I mean? But my thing is, I just think he's been so good, and he's captured baseball, you know. I mean, all those guys are good, but what rookie has captured baseball like Skeens?
Would you shut him down?
I would not.
To get an extra year?
I would not. Probably not.
But if they did do that, Paul, what do you think his reaction should be? Especially if he feels like he should still be pitching.
Here's the thing: Do you remember when they pissed off Garrett Cole?
Yeah.
Because they wanted to haggle about, you know what I mean, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That to me, they have enough control of him over the course of time. I don't know. I know baseball teams operate that way. But here's the other thing. I think that you run the risk of really, really, you know, losing the goodwill of your fans when you've spent all season saying, we're not going to shut him down. We're not going to shut him down. There's no way we're going to shut him down. We're going to keep him going. Okay, well, now you're going to shut him down.
But I think from a fan perspective, I mean, I'm really torn on this. Part of me says it's an obvious choice to shut him down or try to limit him here because the season's over. And as it says in the story, for the Pirates, the difference between keeping Skeens for five more years or six would be enormous. It is enormous. That's a whole nother year of Skeens.
They wouldn't keep him for five or six. It would just mean the trade value for him would be a little higher when you trade him after four.
Or, in this case, after five. So you still get that extra year of him.
They would still trade him over after four, I think.
I think you get an extra year here, no matter
because
what.
Because here's the thing: in that year five, so you year five is going to be his third arbitration year, right? That would be his third.
That depends on this year too. It depends on if he gets a full season. If he does, he goes to arbitration a year earlier. I agree, though, with what Bob said, that the only thing that's keeping me from saying this is a no-brainer is how Skeens would react. And everything we know of him,
yeah,
he's a guy who really values integrity and honesty, and he would feel deceived here.
You're basically telling
maybe.
Him... Maybe. You're basically telling him you don't care about his winning an award. You want to be able to pay him a lot less than he's worth for one more year.
On the other hand, they're already, like, didn't his start this Wednesday now become a TBD, I believe? They're already, they've spaced out his starts.
Right.
And this could easily be done under the guise of we're trying to preserve you for next year.
Right. That's
preserve
why,
your arm.
That's why I don't think you need to shut him down.
To keep him from winning
second? If that's your goal, then yes, I guess shut him down. My thing is, if your goal is, well, we, you know, it's the season's kind of lost, so we don't want to wear out his arm or whatever the story is, you can achieve that without shutting him down. If he's supposed to start Wednesday, right? Okay, move him to Friday. Now you're giving him two extra days. You do that a couple times, and now you go from him starting, you know, say eight more games to him starting seven or five or six.
Which could make the difference in the end.
That's what
it
I
really
mean.
Could.
You could probably achieve it without just going full-blown, let's
nuclear,
shut it down.
Without going nuclear.
Here's the other thing I would do for if I were them. He would never start on the road the rest of the season. Because every time he starts at home, we're going to get a
right.
better gate if he doesn't start. So I would make sure that he's starting at home. I would play games with whatever you got to play games with the rotation to make sure every one of his starts is at home.
Bob, in some ways, like I said, this is almost a no-brainer. Like, that's a hell of a trade, is to maybe sensibly sort of limit him or shut him down in September since the season is over. And in return, I get a whole another year of Paul Skeens. I mean, that's the trade of the century. But I do understand what you're saying. I do. In the end, I probably do what Paul says, which is try to finesse my way around this. I limit his starts. I definitely shut him down the last 2 weeks. And then behind closed doors, not for public consumption, I hope like hell he doesn't finish in the top two for Rookie of the Year.
Well, I guess I would have not public consumption. He would love to be the Rookie of the Year for a lot of reasons. And, you know, again, I think you have to be sensitive to his wants, especially if he feels he can pitch and he senses that you're trying not to get him out there as much as you can. So it's just a tenuous situation for that relationship. But as a team that would like to have him for an extra year, I can understand why they would consider that. But I also think you have to watch.
A lot of people would tell both of us, they just paid Paul Skeens the biggest bonus in draft history. They'll do as they see fit, and he'll have to live with it as a player. A lot of people would tell us that too, Bob.
Yeah.
Regardless of his feelings, he is Pirates property, and they paid him a hell of a lot of money to get it that way.
No question. $9.2 million up front, that's, you know, their prerogative. Again, I just think it's a they take pride in communication. That's what they say in there. Well, you better communicate and have understanding all the way through. If you're going to make decisions like this, communication's important. Tell everyone what's going on that side so you know. I think if Paul Skeens feels like he can pitch, ultimately you have to stretch him out at some point to go into the next season. You don't have to overwhelm them with it, but you have to continue to do it. So, and let the chips fall where they may. If you're trying to protect an extra year and he becomes aware of it, I think that could be a real difficult situation in the long term.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the other part of it is, I think I just don't know what message you're sending, really.
That's my point. What message are you sending?
I just don't know.
The message is the season's over. I'd also, by the way, bench my older guys too.
But you're going to bench O'Neill?
No, I'm talking like Taylor, Telez, Joe.
Yeah, I'd want to see guys from the minors.
But here's the thing. So essentially what you're saying is if you're out of it, just don't play anybody. I mean, you paid Rowdy Telez $3.5 million. You might as well get another month out.
Well, no, I definitely want to see Henry Davis. I think you use September.
Absolutely.
See your young guys.
I would bring up Henry Davis. Absolutely.
Grandal would not play.
But again, Henry Davis, if you bring him up, how are you getting him? Are you going to just let him? How are you getting him enough at bats to make it worth your while?
By not playing guys.
Who are you not playing? I mean, you're Joey Bart's maybe your best player right now.
Grandal. Those at-bats would be freed up.
Right.
Telez part of the time if I think Henry Davis can play first. McCutchen at DH. What's the point of that in September? He's having trouble finishing seasons anyway at his age. McCutchen, he's injured again.
All right, so except for Henry Davis, who else?
Henry Davis, Andy Rodriguez, if he can make it back. Nick York, who's been working at center field. I have him instead of Michael A. Taylor. The other kid, Billy Cook, Ron's son, I have him playing right field. All these guys, man.
Who's this guy they just brought up last night?
Who's that, Bob?
The outfielder.
Billy McKinney.
McKinney.
Billy McKinney. The great Billy McKinney.
What is the issue with bringing up the kid from the Red Sox?
That's what I'm saying. York.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously had an opportunity to just do it last night.
And the rosters don't expand that much in September anymore.
Right.
But this is
what drives me crazy about this organization. All we heard about was this Nick York was going to be maybe the center fielder of the future. What are we wasting time with Chris Middleton or whoever the hell? Yeah, Who's this guy?
I don't know.
Who's the guy that they just brought up?
That's what I'm saying.
So Billy McKinney.
Billy McKinney. Why are we wasting time with him?
No more Michael A. Taylor. Get York up here playing center field.
Use September for that.
And a big part of me says use it to try to guarantee an extra year of Paul Skeens. As a Pirates fan, let me just ask people out there. As a fan, you know as well as I know, and Paul and Bob and everybody in baseball, there's a very minimal chance that Paul Skeens will reach a second contract. You know, a big one. He may get that thing where you buy out a couple years of arbitration, whatever. Something like that, right? I'm talking there's very little chance he's going to see beyond the years that the Pirates control him, that they're going to buy into free agency. So if by shutting him down you were guaranteed an extra year of Paul Skeens, or even maybe by spacing him out.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.